Welcome to Fireside Chats. I am Magla Pillay, and today I have in the studio with me Sister Denise, who has been practicing Raj Yoga meditation for over 40 years. Today we are looking at the interesting subject called time, timelessness, and eternity. Within this series, we take up a number of subjects revolving around spirituality. We ask you, the viewer, to look at the core and essence of spirituality. We look at things like the balance between philosophical and spiritual integrity. We also look at and ask you to take yourself within and ask yourself whether you have a balanced relationship between your inner and outer world. We ask you to do a candid assessment of your own relationship with God, whether God is just a name or a concept to you, or do you enjoy a real and personal and intimate relationship with Him or her. Sister Denise, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Time, timelessness, and eternity, that is a mouthful. Tell us, what do these words mean to you?
I think time is a vector.
Really?
There's time and there's space, and you need those two for anything to happen. If there's no time, no space, nothing happens. So the human soul comes into time, that means into action. Every action has a duration, and it has to be somewhere. There has to be a place where something occurs. So it's a something that you can come out of and look at. So the world that we know is the world of time and space, or sometimes called the space-time continuum. Now, we're talking about timelessness. So timelessness as a word is a sort of a quality. Now, when we talk about time, we're also talking about deterioration. As soon as something comes into existence, any product that you make, it begins to deteriorate. So there is a process of creating an object, and then it's new. Or you build a house, it's new. And before you've even finished, things start to break or go wrong or whatever. The process of deterioration occurs. And then timelessness is where you have a feeling that nothing is deteriorating. It's just holding itself. It's staying the same.
Okay. So Denise, why is this subject of relevance to somebody who is embarking on a spiritual journey or wants to understand themselves from a spiritual perspective?
It is because you yourself are eternal. You yourself, the soul, you come into time and space, perform actions in time and space, and come out of it. So that what happens is, for somebody who thinks of themselves as material, then you are bound by time and space. But when you think of yourself as non-material, then you can enter it, use it, extract yourself from it. It gives you a completely different angle on the phenomenon of existence.
Okay. So tell me, as one proceeds through one's daily life, are you just aware of the day, or are you aware of a bigger picture of time?
There are many different ways that you feel time. They say, you know, when you're enjoying yourself, time disappears like really quickly. If something is, maybe you're waiting for something, or you have very different experience of time. Sometimes time goes by so slowly. Sometimes it flashes by. So your sense of it is absolutely a factor of what is occurring. A clock will move along chronologically at a particular time. A second is this much long, a minute is this much long. But the way that you experience time is very different from how time is calculated on a clock. And the Greeks had another word for it. I mean, there's chronological time. This happened, then this happened, then this happened, and so on. Another kind of time, which is called Kairos time. That's a very interesting feel for time. And there is a symbol for Kairos time, which is a young boy with a lot of hair, and he's running by absolutely naked, and you have to catch him by his hair, and that's Kairos time. So what this means is that there are moments that are significant moments, life-changing moments, crossroads of your life moments, where that moment in time changes the course of time or changes the way that your life is going. And these opportunities of time, it's like they present themselves. There's a window of opportunity which is open for only a short time. You have to grab it, otherwise you lose it. This is a very interesting thing, because we human souls, we come into time, we live life. And, you know, we use this word also, your time has come, to mean you're going to die. We die at this time. And in Hindi, the word for yesterday, tomorrow, and time is all one word. And also the word for death, you see. So death and life. Life is okay. You get born, and as you move forward, you're moving towards your death, which is a particular moment in time. So, you know, on a tombstone, you'll get somebody's name, their date of birth, a small line, and their date of death. So that's your life, that little line between your date of birth and your date of death. What did you do with that? So time is a kind of circumstance in which you have an opportunity to do something of significance, which gives significance to you, but you yourself are also out of time. So you come out of time, you go into time. It's very difficult for a person to think about themselves as eternal. We use the word eternity, which means there's no end of time. People think of time in a linear fashion. It starts somewhere back there, and it goes on to somewhere over there. Usually it starts on the left side and goes to the right side. It's going in a particular direction, which is chronological. It goes from the past through the present to the future. And linear time, there's a blank at both ends where you don't know. In spirituality, we think of circular time, because linear time is by definition limited, and so it can't be eternal. But if you say that there is such a thing as eternity, it means that time has to be circular, because it can only be eternal if it keeps on going. And in fact, the symbol for infinity is a figure eight on its side. It just goes like this. And it means that, you know, there's two sides of time, and time is calculated in terms of days and nights. So you have the day and you have the night of a human soul. So the day of a soul is the time of enlightenment, and the night of a soul is a time of darkness, spiritual darkness. And so this whole thing of eternal time as a continuous movement between darkness and light, and it's all about cycles. So the world, the seasons, the year, the movement of the planets around the sun, and so on. This is how we work with time. This is how we calculate time. And why it is of significance is we want to know how long is time? What happens in time? And can I come out of time? And so spirituality is all about showing a person how they can be in time or out of time. There are strange phenomena. For example, you know, sometimes people say, okay, we were in a car accident, which happened, you know, really quickly, but time slowed down so that you were able to experience all the details of your car crash. Though it happened in a second, but it feels like 10 minutes. And I had an interesting experience myself where I was somewhere and it was being videotaped. And at the time, I experienced this particular occurrence. It felt like it was taking 10 minutes. And then in hindsight, I went back to my memory of it and I said, you know, it couldn't have taken 10 minutes. So I thought, let me check the video. And it took about 10 seconds. But it was an experience of a very spiritual kind. And I think it's as if I had somehow gone out of the normal dimension of chronological time into some different dimension where time got stretched out, so that the experience could be really slow, really deep, and really memorable. So then chronological time is a kind of a something that we've invented, but the way we experience time is very different. In a person's life, usually children experience time much more slowly. And as you grow older, it goes faster and faster and faster. Now, it doesn't actually change speed, but your perception of it changes speed, because time is an experience that has to do with how many things take place in a particular period of time. So when a lot of things take place in a little time, then you feel time goes by very quickly. And when not very much is taking place, it goes by slowly. So that means that the sensation of time has to do with what's happening.
Sister Denise, I once heard the head of the Brahmakumaris, Dari Janki, saying that I do not use time, I experience time. I found this statement to be very curious. And could you tell us what she meant by it? Does somebody who's that high up in the spiritual hierarchy experience time differently from the way us mere mortals do?
I think that time is connected with thought. Mm-hmm. So when people have a lot of thoughts and they say, you know, I don't have time, I need more time. It's as if they come under an influence of time where time limits them. And I think what Dari Janki is talking about is that her capacity to control her thought has caused her to be able to control time and to use time and not get used by time. And that is a very high stage of spiritual achievement, you know. You make time work for you. You stretch time. You never are out of order because of time limits. And I think another thing that I've also heard her talk about is that she's able to have this relationship with time because she never wastes time. She doesn't waste time, she doesn't waste money. So she always has time, and there is always whatever is needed to do whatever you want. And I think a great weakness of the mere mortal is you don't value time. If you value your time, you don't waste it, you use it well, it's there for you. Mm. Because it is a like a commodity, it's an asset.
Mm. Sister Denise, what would you say to people who have an antagonistic relationship towards time? By that I mean we find people saying, I wish I had more time. We'll find a surgeon saying to a terminally ill patient, I'm so sorry, but you don't have enough time. And then the patient thinks, oh my God, if only I had more time. When we're facing death, then we wish we had more time. Why is there an antagonistic relationship towards something that's free?
Well, it's not free.
Time is not free?
No. Time is an asset. It's a commodity. It's like money.
Okay, hold on. If it's not free, in what currency do we pay for it?
Well, it is there for us, but how we use it determines whether it's still there for us. And I think that when people say, I have no time, it's because they haven't used time well. You know, one has to have a lot of discipline in one's life, and time has different qualities at different times. So, you know, the yogi lifestyle that we learn in Raj Yoga is that you wake up, you get up early in the morning, and you use the early morning time for meditation, and the name given to that is Amrit Vela, the hour of nectar. This is the best time for meditation. If you meditate at another time, which is not the best time to meditate, you won't get what you get by doing the right thing at the right time. You know, there are periods of time which are suitable for being asleep. 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., good time to sleep. If you're not asleep at that time, your relationship with time is out of order, and then you will not enjoy the next day because you didn't maintain the discipline of what to do when, and then time is no longer available for you. This is how you lose it.
Okay. Sister Denise, God, does God experience time? What is God's relationship with time? Because God is often depicted as someone who lives up in heaven, up above the world, north, far north. Is there time where God lives?
There is no time where God lives, because God does not live in the material universe. Time is only there where there is matter. Time is only there where there is change. So even the word time is equated with the word change.
So time exists on Earth?
Yes.
If you go out of Earth?
Then you're out of time.
Okay, in a different sense. Okay, coming back to God.
So God is timeless and changeless. And that's very different from a human being who is bound in time, who is subject to death. You know, time and death and change and deterioration are all, in a sense, synonymous. So what you have to become is, in a sense, a conqueror of time. That means somebody who isn't subject to death, isn't subject to, you know, making mistakes around time. So you have to practice to be the eternal soul, to be in your timelessness, enter into time, enter into action, do what you have to do, and then pull yourself out of it so that you get an experience of coming into action in time and coming out of it, so that then you're able to experience time and timelessness. Is a very nice way to be. Ultimately, the soul lives in the same region as God, the region of light, the region of changelessness and timelessness. And in that region, there is no experience for a human soul. God knows all things independently of their chronological occurrence, which means God knows the past, present, and future, and can see all things at all times, because God is not a human soul. It's a very different kind of a soul from us. But at the same time, we will say, well, I'm a child of God. And God will say, well, I will show you how to be like me, even though you're a human soul, so that you can perceive the reality of the world and the human experience from the same angle as me. And by doing that, you're able to transcend the limitations of being a mere human who's just caught up in just this tiny little slice of time that's called a single life. And so God will say, okay, a soul passes through the whole cycle of time, has many incarnations, and passes through all the changes that there are in time, the change from light to dark, from perfection to imperfection, and become detached from that so that you're able to be a spinner of the cycle of self-realization. You can really know yourself in the vector of time from beyond time. And that is a very, very special state of consciousness that is highly desirable to a person who practices their spirituality, because then they become, you know, independent of death. So death isn't something that takes you. It's something that you understand differently. I'm an eternal immortal soul, and I will take one body and leave another. But there's never really an experience of death. It's just a change of costume. So then time doesn't anymore mean death. Time means it is a commodity in which you create pure karma, in which you create beauty. So then the soul becomes the artist who uses time and space to create beauty, to create fortune, to create meaning under the guidance of God. Mm. So that's very special.
Mm. Ms. Denise, on previous episodes, you mentioned that it is at this time that God is active. You used the word active. So what is special about this time? Because God has been famous throughout time. This is not the only century in which mankind needed God. So why this time? Why God now? What is the relationship?
We call this the confluence age.
Confluence of what?
Confluence of one cycle of time with another cycle of time. And so the cycle of time means you go from a state of perfection to a state of imperfection. And the process of deterioration happens automatically. But to go from a completely deteriorated, weak, empty state or dark state to its total opposite requires something outside the machinery. And this is why sometimes in Latin God is called Deus ex machina, because God doesn't deteriorate. So God is the only energy or being that can actually cause time to go from the end to the beginning and reset the machinery of time, in which the wonder of the history of humanity can take place, all the way from the beauty, the extraordinariness of heaven, which is known as the creation of God, through time, where that gradually deteriorates and there is a loss of consciousness, a fall from grace, the long dark night of humanity's journey through the land of search, the land of war, the land of human suffering, to again reconnect with God and again take that light and energy and once again perform the wonder of the resetting of the human world and the cycle of time, which is a miraculous phenomenon that remains, I think, impossible for people to know until God communicates that to people. And that is the extraordinary thing about this time where this is happening.
Okay. So, Denise, I want you to take me through briefly through the mind of somebody who's spiritually aware and how he respects time on a practical level on any given day. Most of us get up in the morning, go about your daily activities, do whatever you want to do, come back home from work if you're employed, watch some television, have supper, go to bed. Okay, and that's a good day, okay, because nothing bad happened. So tell us, if you're spiritually aware, what time becomes then? Do you think that, oh, today is very precious? What are your thought patterns vis-a-vis time?
It is said in teachings of spirituality that every day is a microcosm for your life. And every day is a microcosm of all of time. So if you can master a day, then you master your life and you master all of time. It's also said, live each day as if it is the last day of your life. So that means it's precious. So you're not going to waste any of that time. You're not going to use it inappropriately, make mistakes. You're going to be careful about what you do from the beginning of the day all the way through to the end of the day. And a spiritual practice teaches you a choreography of moving through the day. So in a general way, your early morning, especially for your meditation, your spiritual foundation, then you have to look after your body. So you have to eat, you have to do some work for the maintenance of your body, you have responsibilities, you have people, you have social time, you have quiet time, you have work time, you have time for the community. You do some kind of service, you have again a meditation at the end of the work day, then you move into your family time, and then you take rest, you know. And if you do all of these things in a very pure way, just making sure that you do the right thing at the right time, you come into sync with time. Because the thing about time is there is this aspect of destiny. And so if you can sync yourself up with destiny and just be completely in time with time or in tune with time, then everything moves, you can say, very beautifully. And then you feel, yeah, this is the way to be.
Okay, so it boils down to your way of being.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a lovely note. We've run out of time. So thank you. Thank you very much. So there you have it. I don't know if this subject is of any interest to you. There is a very large percentage of you who feels that the day is too short. And for others, it feels that time is crawling at snail's pace. Whichever category you fall into, Sister Denise asks that you revisit your relationship with time. And once one adopts a spiritual relationship with time, you experience time in a totally different and a more healthy fashion. And if, like most people, you're afraid of death, it simply means that you haven't fully grasped the concept of spirituality and do have a dysfunctional relationship with time, which can change because we're all here to learn and to grow. So I hope you do spend some time and take time to be with yourself and ask yourself what you do in respect of time and how you experience time. Do take care, and we hope to see you soon. Thank you and goodbye. Yeah.